Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's do it.
Former translator for Shohei Ohtani. One of the ways that he stole from him is he changed the settings on Ohtani's bank account so Ohtani would not receive alerts and confirmations about transactions.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Is that really a way that you can make sure that somebody doesn't see $4.5 million is gone?
Earlier on the show, ESPN baseball reporter Alden Gonzalez. UConn guard Cam Spencer. Still to come, New York Times best-selling author Don Winslow. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're watching the Masters second round play out in front of us. Everything going on here in Los Angeles, California, involving the wild affidavit that got placed in front of the rest of our eyes yesterday by the authorities investigating the former interpreter for Shohei Ohtani and what's going on with him. We spoke with Alden Gonzalez of ESPN. We also started this show with me breaking down everything that I read from the 37-page document that leapt out at me and how Shohei Ohtani, 1,000,000% in my belief right now, a complete victim in this whole entire sordid affair and the alleged acts of the former interpreter of Ohtani is rightfully placing him in front of apparently a judge today. And so those are my two cents on the subject matter. If you missed it, if you missed any of this, we re-air at the end of this show. We also spoke to Cam Spencer of UConn basketball. Don Winslow, one of the most prolific authors ever to put anything and publish anything, is sitting in our green room right now and getting ready to come out in advance of the terrific book, City in Ruins, available now wherever you get your books, the conclusion to the Danny Ryan trilogy. Following City on Fire and City of Dreams, City in Ruins, and it's the final book of his extraordinary career. He's been here before. He's coming out here again. Nice. And that's coming up here on this program. Ipe Mizuhara is, in fact, in custody. That has just been reported. So that is what's going on here in Los Angeles, California. As Tiger Woods is stepping to the 13th tee, one over par, which is within the cut range. Of within the making the cut range right now. A lot of green numbers, not a lot of red numbers. It's really windy there at Augusta.
Yeah, really
still.
Windy, 15 to 20 mile per hour sustained winds, gusts up to 30. Beautiful day, but it's windy and dry. A lot of high scores.
Okay, so we're keeping an eye on all of that for you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So Tom Brady was on a podcast called Deep Cut with Vic Blends. You know, we played that soundbite earlier for you where he's got that, what, that small Michael Jordan type percentage of not shutting the door completely. And that's made the rounds. We had our fun with that one. Another soundbite that Vic elicited that is fascinating. He asked Tom about the quarterback most likely to win his first Super Bowl that's out there right now. Would you care to guess which quarterback he named?
Well, I know the answer to it, so I'll...
Okay. Would you like to guess which quarterback he named?
Dak Prescott.
That is not the answer. That is not the answer. He said Josh Allen.
Oh.
Is the quarterback he thinks is most likely to get his first. First.
Interesting.
What are you laughing about?
I'm stupid.
Okay. Jeez. Did you go, that's what she said right there? You are just a child.
No, right? I'm just saying, of course he didn't say that.
My goodness gracious. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
No.
Who would you choose?
Dak Prescott.
Who would you choose? Are you seriously choosing Dak Prescott?
I would not choose Dak Prescott.
I mean, for my own sake, yes.
Of all the quarterbacks that are in the National Football League right now who have yet to win a Super Bowl, Tom Brady anointed Josh Allen is the one. I'll tell you who mine is, but I wait to hear from yours. You say Dak.
I mean, okay, I'll take Dallas out. I'll go with I hate to say this because I don't like this team, but
I know you don't.
The Niners are really good.
You're gonna say Brock Purdy?
Maybe Brock Purdy.
I was gonna say Jalen Hurts. I still think Philly's really good.
Nobody says Joe Burrow, huh?
AFC.
What is it? AFC. AFC turned out to be less than what we expected last year. Everybody thought that was
they won the Super Bowl.
Dude, I'm aware of that because one of the most dynastic teams, it appears, in the National Football League history is currently residing in that conference. But last year, everyone's like, good luck making the playoffs in the AFC. What with Aaron Rodgers? What with Justin Herbert?
The MVP what with Joe and Burrow, the Super Bowl winner were
and
from the
all
AFC.
All three of those guys didn't finish the season with season-ending injuries of varying degrees. Oh, look out for the Browns because they have Deshaun Watson. Look out for the Broncos because they have Russell Wilson. And then it turned out to be one big nothing burger, including Trevor Lawrence. Lamar was the MVP of the season, right?
That's pretty good.
I know that. Tua had a nice run for two-thirds of the season. So I'm not going to buy that. Don't look out for the AFC. It's too
There's
tough to win in the AFC.
There's better quarterbacks in the AFC than the NFC, though, right? That's
You would think, but what, they turned out to be not as good. Nobody's mentioned Burrow. I mean, the Bengals are running it back, guys. I mean, they are missing their offensive coordinator. Finally, their staff got raided.
There's serious questions about him being able to play a full 17.
Purdy's not a bad one.
Purdy's not a bad one. I also like to say Lamar, too, with Derrick Henry on that squad now.
Yeah.
Completely different.
I'll go with, if I had to choose one, I'll go with the guy who's the only other human being in the National Football League. The only human being currently in the National Football League.
To beat Mahomes in the
playoffs. To beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Okay.
I'll go with that guy.
And I'm not going to fault you for that.
I will go with the guy who can actually beat the guy you have to beat. That's it. The only human being that stepped
answer.
On a playoff field in the Patrick Mahomes era, currently still in the National Football League, and the only other one was the one sitting in Vic Blend's chair.
Vic Blend.
Shout on the Vic podcast. Blend. That's it.
I'll put that up as a poll.
That's two people. Which is what? Who's the one most likely to win it for the first time?
Who's next to win their first Super Bowl?
So who are you putting up? Burrow?
I'll put the ones that we just said.
We just mentioned Burrow,
so we'll do Josh
Purdy,
Josh Allen,
and Jalen Hurts.
Oh, gotcha.
We'll do Josh Allen. We'll do Brock Purdy.
I got to hold out hope, Rich.
You're all in on it, clearly.
I got to hold out hope.
All right. It was an interesting chat by throwing it out there. Put it out there and vote at Rich Eisen Show. In the meantime, speaking about likeliness, it's a Friday. So it's time for What's More Likely, presented by T. Rowe Price.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, you've got the floor. What do you have over there?
All right. Hey, guys. What's up? Happy Friday.
Same to you. Same to you.
Shout out to T. Rowe Price.
Hey, shout out to T. Rowe Price. Shout out to the YouTubers. What's up? All right, let's do it. NFL Draft, 2 weeks.
Yes.
All right. What's more likely? The top five teams as they currently are keep their picks, or both the Cardinals and Chargers trade down?
I will say the order stays like before.
Oh, top five, no movement.
That is more likely than the Cardinals and Chargers trading out.
Mm.
Let's just say the Cardinals trade out, right? That's for a fourth quarterback to be taken in a row.
Right. That's right? McCarthy's.
Correct. Which means the Chargers sit there and they're like, oh, so we've got the first pick in the draft for somebody who's not a quarterback. They'll use it. They'll take Marvin Harrison Jr. and run.
Ooh.
I think. They don't need to trade out and get more draft choices. They need somebody.
They also need players.
They also need a wide receiver, don't you think? And let's take the top one. They got Marvin Harrison Jr. dropping their lap after letting Mike Williams walk and willingly trading away Keenan Allen. And I would be surprised. And if the Cardinals trading out would be the one first. That would be for quarterback, which means the Chargers stay put. So it's more likely that everybody stays put, that the Vikings decide it's too far to come up from 11 and they'll just stay put. And then maybe the Chargers wind up trading out. So somebody could beat the Giants for J.J. McCarthy.
So what you're saying, Quentin Johnson and Marvin Harrison on the same squad?
Ooh, that's what I'm saying.
Ooh,
nice weapons for Herbie.
So it's more likely that everybody stays put than both the Cardinals and Chargers trade out. I don't know why, if the Cardinals trade out, why the Chargers then would.
All right.
unless somebody goes Godfather offer for Marvin. But I don't see that as likely. What else, Chris?
Okay. Another NFL draft one here. How about this? What's more likely? There are more quarterbacks taken in the top 10 or tackles and wide receivers combined in the top 10? What's the higher number? Quarterbacks in the top 10, tackles and wide receivers combined top 10.
I'll give you...
Don't say push.
I have to. I think there's four quarterbacks in the top 10.
That's not
the
option. The option is
and three receivers go in the top 10 and Joe Alt goes.
And tackles.
Then I will say tackles and receivers in the top 10.
You don't see four quarterbacks in the top 10.
I think we will. But so I think it's going to wind up even.
I see five.
I think
tackles.
I see
two defenders.
I see.
So two defensive players go in the top 10? If it's four and four?
No, I see Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. Dallas Turner,
Bowers.
Yeah. And then 4-4.
I see.
That's my right now prediction 13 days before the draft. Brock Bowers, 10. Dallas Turner, 8 to Atlanta. And the rest are receivers and tackles and quarterbacks. That's the way I see the top 10 going.
Interesting. And
the Jets better take Brock Bowers, man. Take him.
A tackle. You need to protect Rodgers.
We got his because Dallas went all in.
Can't have enough linemen.
I know, and the Jets hit the line in free agency to free up their ability to take whoever they want in the 10th overall pick. So there's that. Give Rodgers Brock Bowers. What else, Chris?
All right.
By the way, he can block too, right? You've seen Georgia football. That's not his forte.
Not his forte.
But guess what? If he's like the next Kittle can pancake.
That's true.
What else?
How about this one?
Mm-hmm.
We heard from Tom Brady. We heard who Tom Brady likes to win a Super Bowl. What's more likely to happen first? Tom Brady throws another NFL pass in any game.
And then whatever else you're about to say.
Or Josh Allen throws a pass in the Super Bowl.
Ooh, wee.
Josh Allen throws a pass in the Super Bowl. What's the matter with you? What are you talking about? What is the likelihood of Tom Brady throwing another pass in the NFL right now? Dude, get out of here.
He almost played for the 49ers last year.
I know you like ripping on the Bills. I know you like to think that the Bills are just going to rip out the hearts of everybody from Western New York again. I know you think that the Bills, because of what they've done at the receiver position and how they did all of these cap hits right now, that the window of opportunity is closed for Josh Allen as if Josh is 40 years old himself. Get out of here with that noise. I believe, as I said earlier, and I'll repeat here for the crowd that is just surfing in for what's more likely. I think Tom's playing four-dimensional chess. Hey, listen.
Hey.
You guys in the NFL that think I can't come back and try and beat you, and you want me to show up? Guess how you take my piece off the chessboard? By making me a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. So why don't you do that? Because that's what I'm really looking for. So I can do that and then go in the Fox booth. Like, I'm going to be paid a mint for that. Like, you think he wants to get hit? No, sir.
Yeah, but is Josh Allen going to make a Super Bowl?
Okay, very good.
Because
see, he just always go back to that default. Very nice. Okay.
Chances are
you could say that for the rest of his career, he will not make a Super Bowl. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying a lot of great players never play in the Super Bowl.
I understand that, Chris.
Yeah, like Dak Prescott.
And I don't think Josh Allen's going to be one of those players.
Speaking of Dak Prescott.
Oh, nice segue.
Which quarterback is more likely to be in a make or break season in 2024? Dak or Tua?
So, what do you mean?
Make or break season.
Meaning what?
Make or break.
What's the break?
The break is
they're not with the team anymore?
You're going from the team.
Yeah, maybe.
Then I'll go with the guy who's going into his final year of his contract with the Dallas Cowboys. They're going all in on him. I don't know if you're aware.
All in.
Tua's not going anywhere. Tua's the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Until when?
For a while. For a good long while. You heard what Teron Armstead.
A good long while.
Did you not hear what Teron Armstead said on Thursday? Team likes him. Team believes in him. The coach loves him. Yeah. What are they going to go back and they're going to go free agent and pay somebody more than what Tua wants right now?
Go back in the draft.
Go back in the draft.
Oh, man. Arch Manning might look great in Miami.
Oh, God. Guy hasn't even played it down in Texas yet. listen to this guy. I like when he boxes himself in a what's more likely or an overreaction money, and he just starts trying to throw some darts to get to find the daylight to get out of it. Dak Prescott is legitimately in a make or break season as we are conversing right now. Okay? This guy has no more time left on his contract, and the Dallas Cowboys' sense of all-in is to make sure that he feels the pressure with the roster that they have. And the roster that they have, you know what? I mean, honestly, they've gone all-in on supplementing this roster. There it is. There's the NFL.com free agency tracker.
How is that the only people you signed?
Five people. Five of them, and four of them re-signed.
You have no defense.
Eric Kendricks
to that.
Is the only newcomer.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right. So the tote board of the Jerry.
See, disrespect it's just five is going to cause me to curse into this mic.
Don't do it.
There's so much less.
Chris?
All right, a couple more. Who's more likely to make a sneak NBA here to make a sneaky run of the conference finals?
Ooh.
Knicks or Mavericks?
Well, I can tell you right now, it won't be the Mavs.
Why is that? Because the Clippers are playing him?
Because there's a man named Kawhi Leonard.
You know where I'm going with this.
Is Kawhi Leonard actually playing?
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Listen, despite what I heard from my friends on the set at NBA on TNT, I think the Knicks can beat the Pacers, although Tyrese Halliburton scares me.
Yeah.
So if the Knicks are the two seed, I kind of dig that. But I think the Knicks can make a really sneaky run. Because I think the Eastern Conference is more of an surmountable climb than the Western Conference, I think.
West is deep.
So I think the Knicks can make a run to the conference finals. Give you a scare. How about a Knicks-Celtics, Acela?
That'd be great.
Old school.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Ugh.
Who's got the Eastern Conference Finals this year? Turner or ESPN? Whoever that is just like, yes, please. Sign
please and thank you.
Me
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
I think so. Man, if Julius Randle is only healthy, OG too. But let's ride Brunson. How about that for finals?
Ooh.
Knicks Mavs.
Ooh.
You know, Kyrie back in New York.
The finals of what?
Where he never wanted to play. Kyrie back in New York where he never wanted
NBA
to play because you knew he grew up a New Jersey Net fan. Don't forget that video, introductory video to Brooklyn. And then, obviously, Brunson going back to Dallas.
I'm not signing for it, but I'd watch it.
Neither of you guys want to sign for it.
No, it ain't going to happen.
Okay.
All right, real quick, both these teams.
It's not likely, in other words.
Both these teams now have new head coaches. Who's more likely to have a deeper 2025 NCAA tournament run? Kentucky and
UConn.
Mark Pope,
UConn,
or Arkansas and John Calipari.
Man, it's just saying UConn.
I can't go UConn.
Well, no, I don't think that.
Kentucky or Arkansas, huh?
Arkansas.
I can't believe Cal's in Arkansas.
I'll go Coach Cal.
What is going on?
How about Coach Cal?
He has one player on the team.
Pick Suey.
Who's he going to get?
What do you mean? Who's he going to get?
They have one player.
There's a transfer portal. Who's the king? Who's the king of taking first-year players all the way? Who's the king of that? Who is the absolute king of that?
It's him, for
sure. Who is the king of taking somebody that is new to campus, new to the team, new to the program, new to college basketball, putting him on the team with a bunch of other ones like that, and winning it all?
Yeah, but the thing is, he's only good for keeping them for a year.
I got it. So that's all he needs to do. Pick Suey. Here we go. That's right. Let's get Petrino in a neck brace and get him out there. Suit him up in a neck brace.
I have a Masters one real quick.
Oh, okay.
I wrote this yesterday. This is before Max made the run. So to win the Masters, more likely, Scotty or Bryson?
Scotty.
Or the field?
Scotty or
Bryson. Scotty, Bryson,
Scotty,
or the field?
Scotty Scheffler.
So
get out of here.
He's so good.
Absolutely. Scotty Scheffler.
To the field.
Yeah. I would have taken him.
Taken Scotty against the
yes.
field.
You could remove DeChambeau.
Wow. Jimbo, your leader.
What, 05 Masters last, and Tiger winning it was the last one to be the odds on favorite
Last favorite to
win. Yeah. It's time to end that. Yeah. I'll go Scotty Scheffler. Put on the green jacket. Have John Rahm slip it on. That's What's More Likely, presented by T. Rowe Price. When you invest directly with T. Rowe Price, you get an experienced partner who empowers you to invest your way so you can meet your financial goals. Visit TRowePrice.com to start your personal investment journey.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, Don Winslow, the New York Times bestselling author of City in Ruins, is back here on the show. Nick Saban sitting at Augusta with an Alabama shirt. What's up with that? Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Then I went to Frederick, Maryland.
Okay.
Frederick Keys.
Frederick Keys,
and they
Maryland.
Made these bobbleheads, of which this is one of.
Oh, my God, a Shooter McGavin bobblehead.
Shooter McGavin bobblehead.
Yes.
So.
Guys. Awesome. Yeah, here it is.
Amazing.
Here it is. We'll have to place this in a very special spot here.
It's pretty funny. He's got the guns out, double barrels, leaning on his putter. It's pretty funny.
Isn't this amazing? Did you realize when you were doing that, Happy Gilmore, that would be something that would stick with you for the rest of your
no
career?
Idea. I don't think anybody knows when they make a movie if it's gonna, you know, have legs like this. When it first came out, it was a moderate hit, but now,
right,
people love it and quote it.
But it's neat that funny. You own this Shooter McGavin thing. Some other actors, I think, might not do that.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed the movie. I was a joy working with Adam and Dennis Dugan, these wonderful writers, and you know. It's just Judd Apatow was a co-writer, and these guys are, you know, comedy gold. So
right.
To be with them and to have this movie last as long as it has, it's opened a lot of doors up for me, you know, personally and
sure,
and then professionally. So it's just been a gas.
And did you come up with the shooting?
Yeah, I had no idea why they called him Shooter. Nobody told me anything, so I just started making putts and going Shooter.
But so that was your call.
That was my call. And the very funny thing about this movie, I've told this story, but forgive me if I've told you before.
It's
but
okay. Go for it.
End of the movie. You know how I hate in a golf movie where they cut to the hole and the ball rolls in? I want to say, could you please let me make it? It's about a 32-footer. Mm-hmm. And it's not on a golf green. It's on a botanical garden. So he told me he'd give me like 7 tries. And that's try 5. And I lifted out twice. But people were betting. The crew was going, he's never going to do this. And so you see who your friend is? And when nice. I put that baby in there and I did choke on that baby. And I just did that whole Shooter shimmy thing at the end.
That's amazing.
That's the one they left in the movie. And it's so freaking wrong.
Fantastic. And they're apparently making Happy Gilmore, too, or at least Sandler's working on it. That's from back in our day, back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network with our Roku family. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The conclusion to the Danny Ryan trilogy that has kept people on the edges of their seats and turning pages, City in Ruins, is available now wherever you get your books. The final book of the extraordinary career of the New York Times bestselling author, Don Winslow, who is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. It is good to see you again, Don. How are you?
Good to see you again. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Yeah, that's worthy of a round of applause. Yeah, I agree. Well, that's kind of a golf clap right there.
There we go. Masters Week.
It is Masters Week. Good to see you. We kind of touched on it the last time when you said City in Ruins is going to be the last one. Why is this the last one?
A couple of things. One, it's time. You know, This book took me 30 years to write.
Did you say 30?
30, 30.
Okay. Yeah.
Which makes me kind of a slacker, you know?
Right.
But I was doing a few other things at the time, like 20-something other books. Mm-hmm. But when I was coming around the home stretch of this book and knowing it was about to end and this trilogy, this 30-year thing was about to end,
yeah.
I began to think, yeah, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to try to sort of exit the stage gracefully and make room for other people, younger people who are coming up, of whom there are a lot of talented folks. And then also things that are happening in the country that I feel need a more immediate response than you can give in the form of narrative fiction. So when those two things came together, I kind of thought, yeah, maybe time to pull the pin.
You're talking about the films that you're putting out there on social media?
Yeah.
Putting together, talking about what's going on
what's
in our
going
country?
What's going on, yeah.
Right. So that's what you're... And so you mentioned give some younger authors a shot, if you will. It took a while for you to... catch fire, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
How long did
that was
it
take? A slow burning fire, man. It was a lot of kindling.
Right.
You know, I was a overnight success in my 50s. And so, which is kind of a long night, Rich, you know, kind of Arctic kind of night.
So how long were you at it?
Oh, a long time, man. I think my first book came out in 91.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me 3.5 years to write and was turned down by 15 publishers. Including the one I'm with now.
Which no kidding.
I love to remind him of that. That's really fun, you know. But, you know, I was caught in that kind of publishing spin cycle for years where the publishers would say, well, we're not going to print a lot of books because you're not a best-selling author.
They would legitimately say that to you.
Literally say that. But then you try to point out, but I can't sell books you don't print.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you're in that cycle and it's very, very hard to break out of that.
So what broke through for you, do you think?
New agent, great agent, Shane Salerno. He and I are old buddies. I was his first client. He's actually famous screenwriter, wrote little movies like Armageddon and the sequels to Avatar, little indie films.
I've heard.
And
I've heard of those films.
You've heard of those films?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And so we'd been buddies for a while and we'd talk and he'd give me advice and things. And finally said, do you want to just do this? Why don't I rep you? You know? And I went, yeah, okay. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've never had a contract.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. And I would call it a handshake deal, except I don't think we ever actually shook hands.
So it was just, hey, do you want to do this? You're like, sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then, so what do? Just get your book in front of other publishers that ordinarily you couldn't have?
He went back to publishers and said, look, here's the deal. You either support this guy, print the books, or I go to a different publisher. And he went to filmmakers and who had been optioning my stuff for a long time and then never making the movies.
Right.
I felt like a farm that other people were harvesting and making more money than I was.
Right.
Right. And he went to them and said, no. You buy the movie. We make the movie within 18 months. That became a movie called Savages. And at the same time, I did a book called The Cartel. The cartel's about the Mexican drug cartels. And one day after the book came out, Chapo Guzman escaped from prison. People literally accused my agent of arranging that escape.
That means you have a good agent.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
That people think that he could actually break Chapo out.
Digging the tunnels, you know.
To try and support your sales.
Yeah. My publisher literally accused him of that. So that's what turned it around, you know.
Fascinating. Yeah. And so did you see American Fiction? Did you see that?
Yeah.
What did you think of that movie?
Great stuff. Listen, I'd watch Jeffrey Wright read, you know, sure. As they say, read the phone book.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it an accurate portrayal of the publishing community, would you say?
Yeah, I would say so.
Not that they'd buy they'd buy one of your books if you want to rename it just the F word or something like that. That was a laugh out loud scene in the film.
It was a laugh out loud scene. I've had my books renamed. I did a book called Isle of Joy, and the publisher didn't like that. So it's actually a famous last lyric of a famous Cole Porter tune, Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So it became A Winter Spy. But I said, well, it's not going to be A Winter Spy by Don Winslow. If you're going to change the name of the title, change my name with it. you know.
And so what happened?
I had a short stay at that publishing company. The book everywhere in the world is called Isle of Joy by Don Winslow, except here in the United States, it's A Winter Spy by McDonald Lloyd. And when people bring the book up, I don't know how to sign it. You know, do you want it with that name or my name or
where
whatever?
Did you come up with McDonald Lloyd?
I did.
Where does that come from?
My dad's name was Donald. His dad's name was Lloyd. Mac in Gaelic means son of, so son of Donald Lloyd.
Wow, very clever.
Very good.
Very clever, huh?
I have a way with words, Rich. I have the best-selling author, Don. Yes, you do. Don Winslow here, or McDonald Lloyd is here on The Rich Eisen Show. Yeah. What a story that is. Unbelievable. Did you ever think of writing anything to do with sports? Are you anything that you've ever seen that you think would be a good sports novel or
I'm a big sports guy. Okay. You know, big baseball guy, big ice hockey guy. Stanley Cups are coming
the
up.
The Stanley Cup was sitting right there on this table 2 days
Can
ago.
Can I touch it?
Yes, you
thank you.
2 days ago.
Wow.
Lord Stanley's Cup.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Right
man.
Here.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, and we had the keeper of the cup here. We got them here for 40 minutes asking stories.
Oh, I bet. I wish I were here.
He told a story about the record of the youngest human to ever be placed in the bowl at the top of the cup. Do you want to guess how young do you think the life of how young do you think this person was?
3 days.
Incorrect. 20 minutes.
No. No way. Well, that's hockey fans, man. They're crazy. You know, I used to
they cut the cord, they swaddled the kid, and they put it in the top of the cup.
I used to go in Providence, Rhode Island to the Providence Reds. My dad would take me.
Yeah.
And it was the old stadium on North Main Street with not plexiglass, but chicken wire. And people used to reach through the chicken wire and grab opponents' jerseys. Mm. And I saw a Providence sports crowd boo Snow White one time.
Why would they boo Snow White, Don Winslow?
They were pimping the ice capades between periods, right? And so Snow White's out there skating around with, you know, Sneezy and Dopey and, you know... And she fell down and broke her ankle.
Get out of here.
As they're taking Snow White out on the stretcher, the crowd is booing her, right? It's like, you stink, learn to skate, you know?
Come on.
My hand to God, warm-hearted crowd.
I guess they were all full of grumpies, right?
Yeah. Oh, very, very
hey
good.
Now, huh?
Hey, Rich.
You're not the only wordsmith right
one
here, Don Winslow.
Absolutely.
I couldn't write a bestseller,
very
though.
Good. I don't know about that.
No,
we'll
I wrote a book, one book. It was based on the experience of launching NFL Network. Yeah. I loved it. I poured my heart and soul in it. I wrote it.
Yeah.
I wrote it.
Wow.
I spent time in my office. It took me a year plus.
Yeah.
And it was just a total... Sorry.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me to my face that they would print less books or anything
right.
like that.
No, they told me to my face.
I mean, I know, but to this day, it's still a pride.
Yeah,
to
sure.
See it
of
right
course.
There on the shelf.
It's an achievement.
I've got about 56-cent copies around the corner for you to look at on
no,
the way
good.
Out
I'll
the
take
door.
Some with me. I'm selling mine out of the back of my car in the parking lot. If anyone wants a half price City of Ruins, just meet me in the lot after
the show.
I'm sure
they will. Yeah. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they absolutely will. Yeah. Have you heard about what's going on with Ohtani here in town with his?
Oh, sure.
That sounds like something that you would, from your private investigation days, right? Like,
something I'd write. But
do you think? Can you make this stuff up with what's going on with him as interpreter?
It's hard to write fiction anymore, Rich. You know, but I mean, look, if someone rips you off for $16 million and you don't notice, life's good. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you go, $16 million lunch money. You know, I used to work for a client when I was a PI, you know, this old guy in the movie theater business in New York, and he'd say, Don, if they're stealing breakfast, let it go. If they're stealing dinner, you know, stop it. So I have a feeling the 16 mil is sort of breakfast money, you know, for Ohtani. Because he's like, oh, 16 million? Someone stole it from me? I don't know.
I guess breakfast wasn't expensive back then?
I guess so. I don't know. You know, I just had it room service in L.A. It was pretty expensive.
Exactly right. You'd stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just is, just reading, I read the 37-page affidavit.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Because, wow.
Responsible sports guy.
Plus, I've been asking a lot of these questions involving the story that I've had about, and I wanted answers. And I get it in this document.
Wow, yeah.
It was an interview, this affidavit given by a lead investigator for, I never knew there was a criminal investigation unit for the IRS. It sounds like one of those. I know. I feel silly of saying that, but just seeing the words IRS CI, which sounds like a CBS dramatic procedural.
It does. Yeah.
But the way it was laid out, they've got everything from IP addresses to device IDs to texts to phone calls and they looked at 9,700 texts between Otani and his interpreter in Japanese over a 4-year period, and there's not a syllable from Otani talking about gambling or asking where the money is or asking who, you know, what he's laid the money on. Like, Otani was completely in the dark.
Oblivious. Amazing.
Which is part of those things that I guess you can't even make up, you know?
You can't. But wouldn't IRS CI make a really horrible TV series?
It does.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine the ad for it? I can't. IRS CI and some handsome guy and some hot woman and and going over numbers.
It's the second week of April on a big season finale of IRS CI.
Yeah, following the Super Bowl tonight, the premiere of IRS CI.
Do you want your premiere on April 15th or the finale on
April
15th?
Great, Don. Good question. What do you think? You want the premiere?
Premiere.
Premiere.
Open on April 15th. Yeah. Absolutely.
You'd have to demand it.
You would.
Your agent would probably set it up that way.
Set it up that way. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So before I let you go, what is the, if you can, secret sauce to writing a best-selling work of fiction like you've been doing?
There are two secret sauces, one for the bestseller and one for the fiction.
Okay.
I don't know much about the secret sauce for best-selling because that's a business thing, And fortunately, again, I have this great representation, so it's not something I think a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of writing the fiction, listen, it's a job I've wanted since I was a little kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so grateful to have it. Life finally gave that to me, And so it's a matter of treating it with respect. It's a matter of suiting up and showing up. I go to work at 5:30 every morning, and I stop writing at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Are you at home or you have an office?
I have an office about 100 yards from my house. I have an old gas station that we took over.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Heavy bag in there, hockey sticks and pucks that I can go out and shoot.
Does that help you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, if I'm stuck on a paragraph or something, I might go shoot a few pucks against the wall and think about it.
That helps.
Yeah, and imagine that I actually have some athletic talent, which which I don't. But really, it's just a matter of work, and trying every day to do my best at it. I know as that comes out of my mouth, it sounds kind of smarmy, but that's the reality.
But I mean, you must be drawing on your life's experiences, obviously, and being a PI would have to. You must have seen so much in your time as a PI that you'd be able to come up with constructs, fictional constructs that are based on, if you will, on some of your experiences.
Yeah, I rarely, use my experience directly because there's a reason they call it private investigator.
Nice.
And I think that people would have a reasonable grudge, But, I got to know the criminal world, the cops and lawyers and how things work and how you research something, how you investigate something. So the techniques that I would have used as an investigator are the same techniques I use researching a book.
Yeah. I mean, if it would have been a much different show for Magnum if it was public investigation.
Yes. Right.
Just wanted to figure that out. Okay.
Absolutely. Rich.
Don, congratulations on everything and best of luck in what you're about to endeavor.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You bet. At Don Winslow and at Don Winslow Films on the Hellscape of X and Instagram, the final book of the extraordinary career of Don Winslow, City in Ruins, is available now wherever you get your books. Great to see you.
Great to see you.
Hopefully this is not the end of you showing up back here.
I'd love it. Ask me back. Let's talk hockey. I'd love to talk sports films sometime.
Absolutely.
Let's do that.
Which is your favorite? Let's do it right now.
Bull Durham.
Why is that? Just because of the stories?
No climactic ending. One of the few sports movies that doesn't end, you know, ninth inning, two outs, two strikes, you know, or 20 mm-hmm. seconds left in a football game, this very naturalistic fading out, you know, and plus the script's just brilliant. The Ron Shelton script.
Have you ever met Ron?
I have not. I'd love
oh,
to.
Oh man, we can, I can.
You can put work that, that out.
I can. I've been a couple of fingers, a drink deep with Ron.
Is that right?
Shelton every now and then.
All
yes,
right.
sir.
I'd love that.
That guy is just a hoot. He I'll is bet. Awesome. He's I'll brilliant.
Yeah.
Hoosiers is my favorite.
Hoosiers, yeah, I can see that.
I can see that. Well, I mean, for me, the sports movie that I love that the most, or I quote it
yeah.
the most.
Yeah,
I did it just the other day when talking about how you know, Bill Belichick, when Tom Brady was just a young
yeah.
pup
yeah.
and he had a decision to make about sticking with Brady or going back to
right.
you know, going back to Drew Bledsoe
yeah.
and how there were some people who were questioning his thought
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
And I just remember the scene from Hoosiers where Gene Hackman, Coach Dale, has the his I guess philosophy and his game plan in this leather satchel and just waved it at the hollering crowd.
Yeah.
And that's there's that. And there's just
that.
There's hey, it doesn't matter how big the environment is, the floor is still the same size.
Size.
And
same
the rim
size.
Is still the same
yeah.
distance to the floor.
Great film.
Don, Rich's other favorite movie is Rudy. How do you feel?
It's not Rudy. He's just joking. I'm a Michigan Wolverine. I hope.
Oh, okay.
I dislike Rudy and Notre Dame so much. I'm hoping there's an alternate ending where he just pops a quad.
Now, see, I went to college at the University of Nebraska.
Okay.
When they were national champions,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tom Osborne and all of that.
Sure.
So, yeah. And my wife is a Nebraskan. And if they're on TV, I get this tranquilizer gun. It's, but you have to hit her pretty directly in the neck. Nothing else will do.
Nothing else.
Yeah, this sweet woman, you know, sweet, kind, lovely woman just turns into this vicious beast.
Transformative.
You know, yeah, during the Nebraska games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's just trying to stir things
he
up
is.
Right
he's
here.
He's stirring things up. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Rudy. God.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. And yeah. then we had David Anspach told us that Rudy heard me question whether
yeah.
he was truly carried off by a whole host of people,
right.
and he wants to fight me.
Does he? I'd do that.
He wants to fight me, like legitimately knock me out.
Just for the movie alone, I think you should do that.
I think maybe
everyone should,
yeah,
actually.
He's slow clapping that idea. Very yeah. good. City in Ruins, again, available now wherever you get your books. Don, great to see you, sir.
Great to see you. Thanks
we'll be
for
back
having
to wrap
me.
Up this show in a moment on The Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Tell everybody, Jack, who your godfather is. Who's your godfather?
Ron Shelton, who is the writer of Bull Durham,
baby.
The movie that made me exist. So, I'm here because of that film.
So why not have him as the godfather of your child?
Absolutely.
Him, right?
Yeah.
Cosmic All-Stars.
What is it like to have Ron Shelton as a godfather?
I mean, as I got older and realized all the movies he had written and directed,
yes.
it really, I mean, as I did what he does,
right.
it really became more of a resource. We get lunch a lot now, and I really like the guy. He's amazing. He's
okay.
Great,
how are you introduced him to Bull Durham? How was that introduced to you?
Well, I went to audition for Ron. I did really well, and then the agent says, you did really well, but you got to go through. And so I went out and met Kevin and pitched through the ball around with him.
So the catch that you had to conduct in order to get the gig was with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Where? Do you remember?
Out at Warner Brothers Studios out in the valley. And out,
just
right
on
out,
the lot?
Outside,
like in this,
yeah, outside
on the
a
pavement?
Bungalow. Yeah, outside a bungalow there, yeah.
So people are driving their golf carts around you while you're trying to have
yeah.
a catch with Kevin Costner?
Yeah, and I was like, okay, no, don't break any windows.
That's right. Because yeah. you are Nuke LaLoosh. You're supposed to throw it in any direction right there.
You know, he was written as a lefty.
Right.
And Ron decided that, you know, he he wanted me, so it turned into a right hand.
That kind of ruined the movie, though. If only he was a lefty, that would have really taken us to the next level.
Be careful what you wish for, because you might not exist.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, you boil it all down.
Yeah,
pretty
much. I'm glad you got the part. I'm glad you memorized your lines that day.
Yeah.
Thanks, ouch.
Yeah.
Wow. That was that was a Nukalush fastball high and tight right there.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit and we didn't have an in-studio guest for 2.5 years after that interview.
Yep.
That's part of our history, man. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Let's take some calls. Charlie in Pennsylvania. What's up, Charlie?
Charlie. Hey, Rich. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I've been wanting to pose this question to you guys for a while now, and here it is. What's more likely to happen this season? Brian Daboll gets fired or Robert Saleh gets fired?
Both.
Oh, my God. I don't like talking about stuff like this, but I will answer directly. I don't think the Giants are firing their coach. And, you know, I think the Jets are already on record I think Woody's already on record that he hasn't said the words, but, I mean, this is it. We're at the Last Chance Saloon here for the Jets. And I don't think Saleh deserves it, but if I had to choose, I would go Jets, you know?
Okay.
Thanks.
What about the rest of the room?
Oh, he wants to crowdsource.
Oh,
you can't say both.
Well, they both should have been fired anyway, but I'll say Robert Saleh.
Man, I Rich, I don't want
to quick to fire
risk for anyone's downfall and losing their job, but based upon what you just said and you having a better knowledge of the Jets, I'd say
I don't think
I think you guys will pick it up this year though, so
I do too. So thanks for the call, Charlie.
They both might be safe.
Appreciate it, Charlie in Pennsylvania with that call.
Zach Wilson won 7 games last year, so
yeah.
And still.
What do you got, Aaron?
Oh, he didn't win 7 games last year. He didn't. He didn't win them all. I think the Jets won a couple. Did he win them all?
Oh, let me check.
I mean, technically, Aaron Rodgers was 1-0 last year because he started that game, and that's not why people think wins are such a fallacious metric of measuring whether a quarterback's successful. Jeff in Detroit, back on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Jeff?
What's happening, brother?
Are we gonna finally meet in person, Jeff, in a couple weeks?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We got to make it happen.
We will.
I got to see you guys. You know, I just found out. I'm just listening to the show, and I found out that you guys are coming in.
We're coming in.
Awesome.
We're coming in. Right, we got a spot. We're coming in downtown Detroit. I'm told it's about a block and a half from the actual draft set. We're going, Jeff. We're coming. So you got to come down.
Oh, cool. That is so awesome. We have a little sign gate going on here. We were supposed to get a sign. Well, what happened was somebody did a digital rendition of a big sign that says Detroit, and they put this little rinky-dink sign in, and now
you know,
everybody's up in arms.
Hollywood sign.
Jeff and I were DMing about this last night. There's a new like kind of Hollywood-esque sign in Detroit, and people are pissed that it's not.
It's small.
It's small. It's not really what was advertised.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay, I
got to
learn more about it.
This guy made a diss song about it, TJ. I got to show you. It's really funny.
Okay. Phone lines are lighting all of a sudden right at the end of the show. All right, Jeff, we're excited to have you. We're excited to see you. It'll be great.
I cannot wait to see you guys in person.
Okay. So we'll connect with you once we get the address, and we'll get you down there. Jeff in Detroit.
All right, Jeff.
Boom.
We get to finally meet him. It's exciting.
After 10 years.
After 10 years.
Boom!
There you go. After 10 years. Okay.
The poll I put up, we were talking quarterbacks.
Yes, sir.
Rich. Talking quarterbacks, based on what Tom Brady said.
Tom Brady says Josh Allen is his choice for the next quarterback to win his first.
Exactly. Next quarterback to win their first Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, TJ said Brock Purdy, Rich Joe Burrow. I said Jalen. It is Joe Burrow, 45%. Brock Purdy, 24%. Josh Allen, 17%.
Boy, Jalen Hurts, what's going
13% on? 13%
for man, Jalen Hurts. I know they lost their two big guys on either side of the offensive line. That's right there on the middle, you know, right there on the line of scrimmage, right in the middle. They lose Kelsey. They lose Fletcher Cox. I still think the Eagles. Did you see the video A.J. Brown was trending about him running straight, like from a starter, from standing still, and he went 22 miles an hour?
Yeah, I saw that.
He went 0 to 22 real fast.
Whoa.
You know, I mean, tis the season of like, this guy looks good.
I know.
He's going to kill it this year because look at him with no pads.
You know, still there. It's still a good
team. I mean,
team.
Saquon?
Saquon, you know, Barkley. Right. Still a lot of good players on that team.
Exactly. Yeah. And defensively, and you know there's a Georgia Bulldog or two that they're going to draft.
Absolutely.
Coming up. See, I know my quarterbacks, though. I think Joe Burrow is going to come back. Joe Burr is going to be the guy. And I'm concerned about no mixing. But I think maybe is Chase Brown going to be the main guy there now?
Maybe.
Because he was showing some ability.
Yeah, he was showing some. But, look, we're 50-50 on can he finish the season.
Well, you could say that about anybody.
We can't. Why? Joe Burrow has not finished 2 years of his career. And he's only played two full years. He's 50-50 on playing a full year.
I
know one of those years he went to the Super Bowl, but still, come on.
Well, they're holding on to T. Higgins for a reason. They're expecting him to have 17 games.
He's getting moved, right?
No way. No chance. He's going to play on the franchise tag.
Wow.
Unless they somehow come up with some sort of way to resign
him
long term.
Not good for him, but good for Cincinnati.
I mean, there's no way. Why are they going to let T. Higgins walk?
Then get the first round pick back.
They're never going to let him. That's not going to happen. He's going to play for the Cincinnati Bengals this year. And then we're going to have to see how Ja'Marr Chase gets paid. When is Justin Jefferson getting his? Where's the bag?
Can't find the bag.
All these questions and more.
Is it on Do or No Do Island with Joe Manganiello? Where's the bag?
Nice. Look at you giving a shout out to one of our friends.
Joe's one of our buddies.
All right. So a fun show. Don Winslow, thanks to him for coming on. Cam Spencer, thanks for him to zoom in. And Alden Gonzalez with the latest on what is going on with Ipe Mitsuhara, the rogue translator.
Crazy.
Man, I got to say, personally, this is one of the best weeks I've had in my life.
This is really funny.
Oh, really?
From
the Cup?
From WrestleMania to Dennis Quaid to the Cup to Bon Jovi to Dawn to the fun we've had to us realizing that we didn't get something that we probably deserved to get. The fact that you didn't get something I know you deserved to get.
And
we pivoted and made fun of it. This was just a great week, man. I'm just happy to be here.
Excellent. And I'm going to celebrate that week by attempting to sit on my ass all weekend long watching golf.
Rich, you're watching the Scotty Scheffler Invitational. Scheffler, 7-under, through three, tied with Bryson DeChambeau. Max Homa dropped a shot on the 11th hole. He is one back at 6-under.
What's more likely? Scheffler wins by 5 strokes.
Yes.
Okay. I don't even need to finish.
It just seems like he's Mr. Inevitable. Like, should be his nickname.
Or it comes down to
like
Sunday.
18?
Yeah,
it seems like Scheffler's going to run away with it.
We'll be back to wrap it up on Roku. Everyone else, we'll chat Monday.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.